You're listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, and as promised, we're delighted to welcome once again back to the Siren Airwaves that ace soul, Renaissance woman in so many ways. It's the fabulous Rachel O'Reilly. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, always a delight, Rachel. Now, looking with respect to this particular feature and shell and so on, I look at some of the factors that have come through as far as inventions that are concerned. We talked about this before the news, and I see that as far as the East Midlands are actually concerned, when asked if they had the power to jump into the future and invent something to improve their nearest city, the top responses were smart houses that heat up or cool down automatically depending on the weather, teleportation to beat traffic jams, earpieces that let us understand all languages, and urban farms so that food grows on every building.
Very nice. They're smart people over there.
Well,
can't argue with it.
Hannah Brown in the studio, you had a possible idea for involving hamsters, I believe.
My brain works in funny ways. That the first time when Alex mentioned renewable, like new energy, for some reason the first thing came into my mind was lots of hamsters on their running wheels. So I used to have hamsters and they would always run. So
yeah.
From my GCSE understanding of science, the turning for turbines, I feel like it's a possibility.
Dynamo. I love that. That's creative thinking right there. That's what we're all about.
And that, Rachel, surely has to be worth the top prize. That's got to be the £1,500 super-sized
thing. Well, I don't want to cast any aspersions, but are you aged 11 to 14?
I
would never ask a lady her age. But.
Not quite.
Yeah, always the challenge. Rachel, share with us, because obviously this is a great opportunity for schools and secondary school children aged 11 to 14 across the country, not just in the East Midlands, to get involved with this. But what exactly do they have to actually do?
Well, this is a brilliant project. I'm really proud to support it. It's the Shell Bright Ideas Challenge. And it's encouraging 11 to 14-year-olds to think about how the world would change in the year 2050 and how we can meet those energy needs. And it might sound dry, but it's all about that creative thinking. So hamsters, you're actually on the right lines because, 11 to 14-year-olds, kids are just so inquisitive. They ask way more questions than adults. Their minds are so much more open that they can come up with these ideas that adults would probably dismiss as maybe a bit silly. But kids can think around it. This is encouraging them to think creatively, think of innovative solutions, because there's only going to be more people in the world, and we're only going to need more energy. So it's only natural that we're going to have to think of clever and clever ways to produce that energy, conserve it, save energy, use less.
And 2050 is just around the corner in many ways. It'll be with us before we know it, really. It's quite astounding.
33 years, and if you think how far the world's come on in the last 20 in terms of computers now in every home, mobile phones ubiquitous, wouldn't live without them. Mm. The first iPhone, the computing power, was more than NASA had when it sent man to the moon. So the progress is staggering. So 33 years doesn't sound like a long time, but this is all about investing in the future and inspiring kids to get into math, science, technology, engineering, to follow those careers. It's about showing them what opportunities they have and encouraging them not just to do this project, to think creatively, but then, study GCSEs, A-levels, degrees, and then hopefully get an interesting and fulfilling job in the industry.
Eva McDonald, again, you're a singer as opposed to a scientist, but
yes.
Does this appeal to your good self? Would it have appealed to your good self? Did you sort of, what was your feeling of science at school?
I used to, back in the younger years of school, so about year 7, year 8, I actually used to really enjoy science, more so the space side, which I think a lot of people do. I used to quite enjoy it, and then I don't know what happened.
Just like Gabriella Peralta in Gibraltar, something happened.
It's interesting you say space, because, the Brian Cox effect, so many people have bought telescopes, and When you mention science, though, you automatically think to your school days, you automatically think to your classroom. But this is about showing kids that it's not just about what you learn at school. It's not just its own standalone subject that you can forget about once you leave. It is important to your everyday life. We all use these gadgets, and it's quite well known that there's a skills shortage in the industry. We're going to need more kids, more students, more engineers to fill these roles in the future as things get more and more technological. It's about taking it outside the classroom and putting it in everyday life and showing that you can use a variety of skills that you learn in maths and science to solve real-world problems that we're facing.
And Ben, not only are you a level 2 public relations student at the University of Lincoln who's sacrificed time at this moment because you said, is it the Rachel Riley?
I had to, I'm sorry.
But your auntie was also appearing on Countdown as well.
Oh, yeah, no, a few weeks ago, my auntie did filming for Countdown, so you might have encountered her.
Not been out on telly yet, so I can't...
No, it's not until early April, I think it is.
Oh, that's lovely.
Mandy Lewis, I don't know if you recognise her, she's Welsh.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, she really enjoyed it from what I heard, so she made 3 episodes.
Well, say no more.
Spoilers!
Oh.
We didn't hear
but
that.
I'm going
to get the limos onto you.
But no one knows what she looks like, no. So I think I'm safe.
Exactly. We'll hold fire there, honestly. Let's go back to this particular challenge. Where's the best website to go? Is it to go to Shell? How should people actually
get in touch? Yeah, if you Google the Bright Ideas Challenge, there are all kinds of resources on there. So it's about from groups of 2 to 5 kids within school. So whether you have to badger your teacher or your kids or all parents, you can go online. There's all the resources there, all kinds of ways to spark wonderful ideas. And there are brilliant prizes on offer as
absolutely.
Well. Absolutely. Bright Ideas Challenge.
You've got a £1,500 supersized STEM learning at your school package. You've got a tablet for each winning team member and a funded trip to Make the Future Live.
Yeah, it's an
plus
exciting
plus additional
event.
Cash prizes. It's just outrageous. Hannah, any final questions?
I'm trying to work out whether I can get a new birth certificate to change my age.
There's a creative thought. There's a creative answer to a solution to a problem. That's what we want.
Looking through this whole process, Rachel, as ever, it's been a delight. As I said, Rachel Riley, the perfect woman. If only we could have an intervention to get her to support the right side in Manchester. You know, I've said this time and time again, Rachel.
One.
Well, yeah, you know, and so anyways, I view you to the world of science as David Silver is to the world of football, really. You probably
well,
say it right.
There's
again,
a lot of maths and science in football as well.
Exactly.
I could go on.
Exactly. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on this, your return to Siren?
I really enjoyed it. Have me back again.
A round of applause for Rachel Riley, please. Yay! See those hamsters now, Hannah. It's literally their little legs going, generating all of that exciting electricity.
Singer, scholar, festival ambassador, and midweek dry vet. It's Eva MacDonald on the Midweek Drive.
Quite right, too. I know, Eva.
Hello.
What can I say? We had to have Rachel Riley as your warm-up act, so it's important. So
it's a lovely introduction.
Well, it opens up a whole range of other factors. Ben has gone to Boston. Quite literally, keeping it now Boston Ben. So he's doing all sorts of other marvellous things there. And we were so excited by, obviously, the challenge coming out of the news and then Rachel and the STEM challenge and this grand competition that's being run that we'd forgotten completely about the weather. So it's a high of 11 degrees centigrade, a low of 5 degrees centigrade, dry and breezy and a bright day.
The sun's
it's
out.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Celebrate.
And it's nearly spring.
Spring has sprung. And will continue to do so as far as the Midweek Drive Morning Edition is concerned. Still to come, as mentioned, we'll be hopefully featuring Louis Savvy in a few moments. And Alan Stevens will be talking to us. I don't think William Sidwell is going to be with us today, but you never know. He might sort of sneak in and do sort of various other sort of elements as well. Okay. How are you, though, Eva? I mean, are you thriving and sort of... I mean, because this is actually, I think, is it your second year as a Midweek Drive?
It is the second year.
Third year, actually.
Third year,
your
that's
third
crazy,
year.
Isn't it?
Exactly.
I feel
third
old.
Year as in, chronologically gifted, that's all. It's wonderfully sort of experientially enhanced. But how's life treating you?
It's going well. I think it's all right. I might be getting involved with the SAFE Festival again this year. Okay. Sarah Bullimore is just sorting out dates.
I'm not surprised. There we are. It's so...
You can say so many things about So, and it's Skegness so, to the world, really. It's never so at So. In fact, we should write that down. We'll use it. We will definitely use that. But if you really, really, really want to live that dream, well...
Sci-Fi London simply wouldn't exist without Louis Savvy. Nor, for that matter, would the Louis Savvy phone link on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Relax and let your mind expand.
Isn't that right, Louis?
Good morning, Alex. How are you?
Exactly. Well, as we refer to you now, it was official in the first part of the programme. After last week's tremendous heroic aspects, we now refer to you as Super Louis, don't we, Anna?
Oh, yes, of course.
Exactly. Morning, Hannah.
Good morning.
Super Louis, Eva McDonald's with us as well. Now, Hannah has been perusing the current edition of SFX with Buffy the Vampire Slayer. 20 years. We talked about it at length last night with Tara Bennett and, of course, Richard Edwards, who is indeed one of the judges on the Sci-Fi Film Challenge. But I hope that Hannah has been persuaded to take up the mantle of the 48-hour film challenge. If only for the last... What is the last sentence in that particular article? The very last sentence, Hannah. It says...
Who needs J.K. Rowling?
Who needs J.K. Rowling? And as Hannah is the treasurer, publicist, or the...
Social secretary.
Social secretary for the University Harry Potter Society.
Yes.
Then clearly, you know, I see this as a challenge. So, Hannah, would you like to ask Louis to explain more about how you and the Midweek Drivers will be leading into this 48-hour film challenge?
Yeah, so I guess could you just give us a brief explanation of the challenge and what it entails for participants?
You can tell she's a little bit hesitant here, though. I mean, she's from Harwich.
That's
nerves,
isn't it? That's nerves.
Exactly.
And it's the fear of doing the 48-hour film challenge, and it is a challenge. So on Saturday, the 8th of April, we'll task filmmakers across the country, in fact, across the world. I've just been talking to someone in Toronto, Vancouver this morning, who are going to be setting up a lot of teams apparently over there to do the 48-hour challenge at the same time as us. So we're going to have a big Canadian contingent in apparently this year. So we task you to make a 5-minute science fiction film in a weekend. Simple. So you need to get yourself a crew. You need to get yourself some kit. You need to get yourself some actors. One of the most important things is remember that your friends are not actors, unless they're actors.
Nice. See what you did there, Louis. Very impressed.
See what I did? See what I did, yeah.
Absolutely.
But, it doesn't matter how good your script is, doesn't matter how good your photography is, if you haven't got actors who can deliver it, or someone that's very good at delivering those lines, you won't make a great film. However, that said, by Monday morning, you'll still have made a film, which is in itself a lovely thing. So we will give you, you need to go onto our website, 48-hour button at sci-fi-london.com. Mm-hmm. You register a team name, pick something sensible because we'll be referring to you by it all the way through the whole process, including the judging and even at the award ceremony. And I can tell you, over the years, we've had some very interesting team names. And then you log in on Saturday the 8th, your account on our website, and there will be four pieces of information waiting for you. The title of the film you have to make, a line of dialogue that you have to use in the film, some props or a prop list, things that you have to go and source and we need to see on screen, and we'll give you an optional science theme as well. And then you've got 2 days to shoot, write, edit, grade, add sound effects, special effects, whatever you want to do to make a 5-minute short film and get it back to us on the Monday morning.
Are you up for that challenge, Hannah?
Well, I mean, it sounds interesting. Mm. My only thing is, I've never made a film.
Well,
fantastic.
Exactly.
Fantastic. That's all right. That's all right. This is a really good chance to... I mean, in fact, this is probably doing the 48-hour film challenge with... If you can find a couple of people at the university who have made films, this will be like doing a year's foundation course in filmmaking in a weekend.
Exactly. You've got Holly McGrattan, Kaylee Umfraville. See what we're doing here.
We just have to convince them.
Yeah.
If we get them, they might know.
Why aren't they here today? Because they're making some films.
Exactly. So, if you get them in the team, then I'm up for it.
There we are.
Exactly.
It'll happen. And Eva?
I used to make films on my phone, actually. Like we sit.
Well, there you are.
I am quite, quite interested in filmmaking.
Yeah, and there's no reason why you can't shoot it on your phone. You know, you don't need to have professional kit. You know, it's and in fact, most audiences are very forgiving of what they see on the screen. Again, as long as the any dialogue is well delivered and the sound is good. So actually, the thing that's very important if you're going to shoot on an iPhone, for instance, other phones are available. But if you shoot on an iPhone, what I would suggest is you just try and get another iPhone and you record the sound with that. So you stick that in the pocket of the actors so that at least you can get some decent audio if you're shooting at a distance. All right? Mm-hmm. And then what you do is on the computer, you marry the sound from that to the imagery, to all your shots. And the easiest way of doing that, which is why they invented the clapperboard, is that clap that comes at the beginning of every time you start shooting is what you use to line up the sound on the film and the sound on the audio device. Clever.
So you see, this is the magic of synchronization and synchronized sound.
Exactly.
And Holly's just walked past the studio.
Exactly, just to clap your hands. If you just clap your hands, both microphones pick it up, and then you use that as the thing to to line up your audio. That way, you don't have to worry about syncing problems so much. So. There we are. So, and you never know what's going to happen. You know, you could make a fantastic film. If you make a terrible film, you'll have had a fun weekend. Just make sure you've got enough pizza and coffee. Mm-hmm.
So there we have it. That's the Midweek Drive-Et Challenge put together from... And I think, you know, that kind of almost gives the team name. I mean, I think that works with...
Midweek Drive-Et.
The Midweek Drive-Et's, yeah.
The Drive-Et. The Drive-Et's, I love it.
Exactly. So they can put the package together and it will happen. Louis, I think we're on a winner here, all being well. Just generally, who knows? They could be the next... Who knows what could happen from that place? Exactly.
Well, actually, given that yesterday was International Women's Day...
Yes.
And my friends at Bath Film Festival have initiated a new thing, which IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, have just allowed them to put onto their site, I think called F rating, which is, so when you've got U, PG and so on, the F is an additional rating you can put on to say that it has a strong female lead or a female writer or a female director. And we were having this discussion yesterday talking about female... women directors, cinema directors. And, you know, I can't count five even. I was sitting there racking my brains of the ones that pop easily to mind. You know, we can all think of Spielberg and Lucas and Cameron and Nolan. And the list goes on and on and on for men. But for women, you know, Gurinder Chadha, Sally Potter, Catherine Bigelow. And then I kind of get stuck there. But soon,
Louis, Hannah Brown, Eva MacDonald, and possibly Holly McGrattan as well. You see,
I want to add that one of those names to that list. Yeah. In 5 years' time, when they're making Godzilla 4,
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them 4.
Exactly. Or a whole new franchise. A whole new franchise that's been born out of a love of Harry Potter, but has got nothing to do with, as you said, who needs J.K. Rowling?
Very nice. The time has come, clearly, Hannah, to actually step into a whole new world from that particular perspective. In fact, it's just generally sort of wonderful. Louis, where exactly are you at this time? Because obviously you're in the cafe last week. Are you still in the cafe? And would you like to give it a shameless plug?
I'm not in the same cafe, actually. I'm in a different. I'm in a coffee bar that's associated with the Battlestar Galactica franchise.
See what you did there? Very good. Nicely put, nicely. Yeah. Genius. Yeah. It's Apollo, obviously.
It is. So. I'm in the Apollo coffee bar. Actually, it's my local one in Mile End in East London. Mm. And they're really lovely. And they let, and it's, I don't know, it's, I don't know if you've been watching the Tracy Ullman show that's been on BBC for the last 6 or 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. But she has a character in there who is, which is a man who works in a coffee bar with his laptop, yeah. And he's always telling people to step round his lead because he uses it as an office. Yeah. And that's me. That's absolutely me. I come in here at 9:30 and I'm here till about 2 or 3 in the afternoon, all day on my laptop, headphones on, just getting on organising the festival. And they look after me, you know, brilliantly in here. In fact, I'm the only person in this particular Apollo chain, coffee bar that gets a French press.
Amazing.
Because I really like French press, and they don't do it in Starbucks. I think they do a couple of select ones in the West End.
Exactly.
But it's all.
It's okay. It's okay.
A Dharma.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Other coffee bars are available.
I mean, you could find yourself in Baltars, and that's even worse from the whole sort of perspective.
Exactly.
We normally only give this one airing per Hannah Brown appearance, but I think for you, Louis, you need to actually hear the epic Phil Leonis production that is
Hannah Brown, historic Harwick heroine and hyperbolic midweek drivette.
Are you sure it's not Harwich? Harwich heroin?
What did I say?
I don't. You said Harwick. I mean, the hyperbolic midweek drive-out was right. Also, I love the deep breath you took before Hannah. Hannah Brown. Like you're taking a big bite out of Hannah Brown.
Quite right, too. You see, that's the sort of the epic nature that Phil Leonis put together when we asked him to come on.
He's very naughty. He's very naughty. He's our Philip.
The truth is out there, too. It's all very exciting.
It is.
Very exciting. Next week, we're going to be looking at 50 years of The Prisoner and more in Seattle. So
fantastic.
It's,
yeah. We've got some amazing photographs, actually, of Port Merion that a friend of ours, Mark Bennett, took in stereoscopic photographs. And that we've got a view drum, which is a kind of great big silver box that you know, like those old seaside telescopes. Mm-hmm. You know, the things where you...
Kaleidoscopes.
You stare into it and it shows you stereoscopic full 3D images. And he went down and shot a whole lot of stuff for the Prisoner anniversary. Mm-hmm. Some amazing photography. So if you're in London, come and have a look at that.
It's time we had another London trip, and I'm sure we'll be there before too long, if only to deliver your calendar in person, Louis, because as I said, March is Louis's month. You know, if you look at the month of March on your calendar,
I can't wait to see it. It's awesome.
Hannah, would you like to put those last two questions to Super Louis in the only way that you can, as a prospective entrant to and team leader, team captain for the Drivettes in the 48-hour film challenge?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Of course I have.
And will you be joining us again soon?
As soon as you'll let me.
There we are, you said. Well, actually, we might well look towards next week when we might have Holly in as well. We'll have a sort of after show coffee and just talk about challenges, etc. We'll happen. We'll get them registered.
I
sense magic is about to happen.
Here we are, still together. first Saturday in March 2017, a particularly auspicious occasion for the Book Corner. Why is that, Jenna Warren?
Because we've moved to new, larger premises on Milton Street.
Absolutely, and already we've had to wait about sort of half an hour just to get to a few words with your good self. It's been absolutely thriving in here.
It has. It's brilliant to see, but I'm knackered. I probably can't say that on the radio, can I?
Well, you just have. It's okay. I look at a book which says, "Where the heck's Saltburn?" I think, obviously, this is one of those businesses that's putting Saltburn on the map. Obviously, you now no longer have the honour of being the smallest bookshop as far as the Saltburns are actually concerned, but happy to have shifted to slightly larger premises?
Yes. I mean, I loved being the smallest bookshop, but there comes a point where you can't really do anything else, and I think I'd reached that point, and the opportunity to came up to move into a bigger shop. It's better for events, more stock, obviously. Great for my book group, which is sort of expanded outside the parameters of the shop now, so it'll be good for that. So, yes, it'll be really good.
Right, so, Jenna, as the continued flow of customers continues ever onwards, talk us through the day. How's it been for you so far? I know it's been very busy, but what sort of thing happened from the official launch earlier this morning?
Right, well, for the launch, we opened at 10 o'clock. I'd run a competition to find two local children to officially open the shop. I had two different age categories, and they had to tell me what their favourite book was and why. So they came and tore big sheets of tissue paper off the front of the shop at 10 o'clock. Since then, we've just basically been like open as usual. I've got a poet coming in at 2 o'clock. Tim Bezick is going to do a reading for us, and then it's business as usual, really. Yeah.
Splendid work, so we might well be able to come back for the Tim Bezick slot. Obviously a very successful day all round. We've done our bit for Southside Broadcasting by purchasing our official book, which is going to be the next book of the month for Southside Broadcasting, which is?
It's A Robot in the Garden by Deborah Install.
And I think at that moment I'll say, yeah, it's been a delight as ever. I'm looking forward to hosting the next book of the month live from, is it still called the Book Corner, Saltburn?
It's still called Book Corner, yes, yeah.
T and the MGs taking us out of it. A little feature we did, a tiny micro feature, if you like, with the Book Corner in Saltburn, which is in the northeast, Saltburn by the sea, and hence the reason we're referring to that. So it's a whole new world. They've just moved from the smallest bookstore in the country to a slightly larger one. Today, according to Robin Pierce, who's going to be joining us from Starburst magazine on Wednesday's show, Hannah, just ahead of the Telefantasy Society Symposium, where he will be presenting and hosting and talking about all manner of things in terms of film criticisms, he maintains today is the day Blockbuster Season kicks off. And he's off for the first screening to see Skull Island, followed by Logan. So although Richard Fitzwilliams clearly wasn't able to actually provide us, we're bringing in the Starburst international magazine, Robin Pearce, all the way from Wales, to actually give us his thoughts on both of those blockbusters. Very exciting. Almost as exciting as yesterday, of course, when we featured Dylan Rees, and what fun Dylan was on the Midweek Drive to actually share with us the joys of the photograph that still resides on his Facebook page, where he looks as though he's completely unconscious. Apparently it was when he was at university. But other things were talked about at length in the way that only a Caldor City recommendation can bring you. And that, of course, means that we have to cue in the awesomeness that is Alan Stevens. Good morning, Alan.
Hello.
Yeah, you see what we did there?
I greet you from Staines.
Oh, yes. Staines, Eva, in case you're wondering, is a suburb of London. And it's home to Aisha and Zukov, as well as Alan Stevens and Fiona Moore, and all manner of wonderful things. I've never actually stayed in Staines.
No, I've never heard of it.
Passed through it, you know, on the train. Usually the train from Strawberry
Hill. Ali G. You've heard of Ali G, haven't
yes.
you?
Yes.
Well, he was from the Staines Massive. He was always going to Staines. He made a film set in Staines. He was from Staines. That's where they changed the name from Staines to Staines-on-Thames.
they didn't want to be confused with the Ali G. Barra and Sacha Cohen character.
Mm. So I dress like that.
And every time.
I'm dressed like that now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's one of the reasons
why... Is it because I'm black?
Study. It's one of the reasons that we actually worked through the programme so far, which has taken us from Rachel Riley and the Bright Ideas Challenge through Louis Savvy, or Super Louis as we now refer to him, in that wonderful coffee shop in East London, prepping for the film challenge and confirming, as you may already have heard, Alan, that he confirmed he's looking forward to seeing both yourself, Alan, and Fiona in your capacity as our location reporters for the latest Sci-Fi London Film Festival, in which, all being well, Hannah, who's going to have a few words with you now, will be entering a team of Midweek Drivettes for the 48-hour film
challenge. Sorry, when is it again?
Hannah,
when is it again?
Provide Alan with the dates. She's on the case here, obviously. Fingers are all set and ready to go, instantly sort of ready to jump in with all the details and responses. It's as fast as the internet if you're on a slow broadband connection. Carry on.
The film challenge is the 8th to the 10th of April, and the festival is the 27th of April to the 6th of May.
There we are, you see.
There you go. I've got it in the end. I've just closed the magazine.
Yes, I think I'll probably be able to make that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alan can't write a script for you for the whole thing, because that comes to you as part of the 48 film challenge. They provide all the details.
Unless he joins our team.
Do you think so? He's just produced another fantastic Dalek piece, which you might be able to purchase editions of, all being well, fingers crossed, etc., at the symposium.
Yeah, well, I'm mentioning this to Gareth. I mean, I suppose if you invite him along to your event, I suppose he might be able to bring his store.
He's more than welcome to come along. It's just I don't know where he's coming in from, etc. So, yeah, fine. Well, the message is there. Gareth Kavanagh, if you'd like to actually come along, then please feel free to do so.
I heard Louis Savvy's birthday greeting to me.
You did, yes.
Yeah, I listened to that. It's good.
Yeah, well, you see. What do you think of you, Alan, even though sometimes you are more irregular in terms of contributions than other sort of folk? You know, you're always there. Always in there, are they? And thankfully not as irregular as Adrian Wrigglesford, but then you'd have to go some from that point.
Well, I heard Adrian Wrigglesford as well, actually.
Yeah, well, there
yeah.
we are.
Exactly. Yeah, I listened to him.
Yeah, amazing.
I think it's about the Dark Dimension. Mm.
These are some of the things that you can actually find out in the wonderful world of podcasts, Eva MacDonald.
Okay.
Yeah.
Marvellous sort of things. Hannah, any questions you'd like to put to Alan about life, the universe, his latest Dalek production with the authentic voice of David Graham performing, amongst others, in an awesome event?
Well, that isn't a loaded question at all, is it?
No.
We go for the big questions here. Well, as I'm a massive Doctor Who fan, I'm intrigued as to what this Dalek production you have made is all about.
Okay, sorry about the cough. Last year, I was contacted by Gareth Kavanagh to write an article on for Daleks. Because back in the 1960s, there were a number of Dalek annuals which were actually written by the creator of the Daleks, and also Terry Nation, and also David Whittaker, who was the then story editor on Doctor Who. And there were three Dalek annuals written altogether, and also there was a Dalek comic strip that used to appear on the back of TV Century 21 comic, which was basically an Anderson publicity thing, but that they negotiated the Daleks, and they ran there for 2 years. And from this perspective, there wasn't any Doctor Who in it. It was the Daleks, so they were actually, you know, the kind of heroes of the strip. So I did this article up, and then I said, I think I can tackle the annuals as well, and did that. And then I also did the 70s annuals, and ended up doing a ton of work on this. And all the way along the line, they were saying we wanted to produce a record, because back in 1965, TV Century Records produced a sort of half-hour story. It was basically a cut-down version of the final episode of a Doctor Who story called The Chase from 1965, and they had David Graham narrate it, and it was basically, the Daleks go to the planet Carnus, and they meet the Mechanoids, and there's a huge fight, and all this stuff. And it was released on a record, and it's quite well-known within the fandom anyway. And they said, you know, because it was, like, you know, released, they would like to do another, you know, basically, you know, a 2017 version of it, and would I be interested in doing it? And they wanted to base it originally on a comic strip which featured a robot called K1 or whatever, or K2, I don't know what that thing's called. But I wasn't keen on it. I said a better idea would be to base it on a story called The Mechanical Planet, which is a short story comic strip that appears in the second Dalek annual. I think it's called Dalek World. And they said yes, so I wrote the script up, and then we contacted David Graham, who is 92 this year, and asked him if he would like to come back and play the Dalek Emperor. He'd done voices of Daleks in the 1960s, and also he was on that record I did in 65, and he said yes. And then I contacted met another actress called Sasha Mitchell, who was in a series you probably won't remember, but it's called Blake 7, and the last episode a Federation agent tricks them all into this huge shootout, and they're all killed. So she kills Blake 7, and I thought she'd be a good person to get into it. And so she was interested as well, and we recorded it, and it's got Daleks in basically fighting this Death Star style mechanical planet, though obviously it predates the Death Star by about 15 years. There you go.
It's time for this.
Tune in to Siren.
You're listening to Siren. This is 107.3 FM.
And this is the Doctor telling you, so you must do it.
Exterminate!
Yeah, I know times are hard for Colin Baker, but really, I think he could have... I wasn't responsible for production of that, but I just felt it was a nice sort of little round-off to that little Alan Stevens moment, which is quite unique in its own way. Eva, thoughts from yourself?
On that, I've never heard that before, actually. No. I was just listening to the radio tune. When was that recorded?
Exactly. Somebody answer the door. Perhaps he's got to get somebody else to fix his roof. I don't know.
Maybe. We're having a roof problem.
I think there's clearly a message that's coming across here in terms of, you know, people at the door, people actually answering scenarios there, people doing all sorts of other areas on that basis. Are you back with us, Alan, or are you still sort of sorting out other bits and pieces?
I rushed downstairs to get the other telephone because I had an idea.
Nice.
An idea sprang to my mind.
Good heavens.
Just hold on for a couple of seconds. I will be able to deliver.
It's like a living world with, here we are, time being 14 minutes, we're actually coming up to 13 minutes to 10 o'clock. We'll soon be saying farewell and happy trails and so on. A quick reminder that lots of great stuff happens as far as Siren is concerned for the rest of the day, including Tessa Snart and Hannah Brown.
Ooh.
Sound and Country Vision.
Daring today, is it?
This very evening, 2 minutes past seven.
Okay, here's a small clip from the Mechanical Planet. Ready?
We're ready. Ready, Eva?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We're ready.
Ready, Anna. Right.
We're ready.
We're ready, Alan.
Exactly.
This is our
that control room, via Cosmoscope, we can observe all aspects of our forthcoming battle with the mechanical planet.
Here.
I was chilled. Yeah, Hannah, did it float your boat?
Yeah, it sounds really good.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it will be a bit. Is it available for purchase now, Alan? Or is it? What's the official release date for this?
the official release date. This is interesting because Vorp. This is issue 3 of Vorp. And originally,
we just have to hold you there for a moment, Alan, because when it comes to that particular sound effect, Hannah has actually got this to a T. So, Hannah, would you like to deliver the magazine? Of course, it's called
Vorp Vorp. Okay. It's a very hard word to say.
Back to yourself, Alan.
Vorp Vorp. Yes, it was originally meant to come out to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who, which was in 2013. So you can imagine how delayed this has been, and I think there might be some sort of performance anxiety. You still there? Yeah, hello?
Yes, we haven't lost you, Alan. You're still
there. There might have been some sort of performance anxiety because effectively it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and now it's 208 pages long. Loads of people. I mean, I went to an event not so long ago, and I was talking to a friend of mine called Matthew Kilburn, and he said to you, I understand you're working on Vorp. I said, yeah, I did a bit of Vorp. You know, yeah, I said, why? He said, so am I. And it appears to be that hundreds of people across the country are working on Vorp Vorp, but no one knows what the other person is doing. So it expanded out to 208 pages, which for $9.99 is pretty good, I think. Anyway, what happened was that they also are releasing every issue has a free CD of the Mechanical Planet, the Daleks fighting the Mechanical Planet, I think there's about 500 issues that have a record as well of it. Again, I suppose drawing parallels to the
on vinyl, on actual vinyl.
Yes, it's on vinyl, and also that of them. There is about 400 of one particular color cover, and 100 of a special Japanese cover, and the title of it is like. The Mechanical Bastard or something in Japanese.
You do realise that this is going to get David J. Howe extraordinarily excited to the extent
that
he'll
go... Oh, he's very excited about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he's foaming at the mouth.
Yeah.
I think he was the very first order they received, you know, because he desperately wants the record, but he's got a huge collection of very massively impressive collection of Doctor Who stuff. But I did hear Weevil get his chocolate Dalek recently. So
unbelievable.
Yeah, but he... So what happens is that the problem then was that there is only about two companies in the world, or in the Western world anyway, who do vinyl now, and of course, you know, everyone goes to them, and Disney were releasing some vinyl release, I don't know what it was, and that delayed everything, so things were delayed by 3 months. Nothing could be duplicated until Disney had got this order out.
Well, they probably had to put something together for Warner Brothers to ensure the Daleks could appear in a Lego Batman movie.
Probably, yeah. So what's happening now is that all the CDs have been duplicated, all the records have been duplicated, all the record cassettes have been duplicated, and Gareth received shipment of the first cover, because apparently there's three covers, special covers on this issue. There's the first one, which is the Autons. There's the second one, which is TV-21, Century 21, Daleks are fighting a horror con on the front. And the third cover is Black Legacy, which is the very good Cyberman story that Alan Moore wrote back in 1980, I think it was. He also wrote Business as Usual, Autons story as well, but Black Legacy, I think, is particularly good. And I reviewed that one, so I'm particularly keen on promoting it. So the first batch, they come in, and there's a photograph on Gareth's website of all these huge storeroom of boxes, and the issues are, I mean, they're really, it's a book, it's like a book, it's like an A4 book, amazing. And I've seen pages from it, and Colin Brockhurst, genius. I mean, you know, he takes the stuff you write, he makes it sing, he really does. The artistry and design and artwork being incorporated, it looks fantastic. In fact, Doctor Who magazine are promoting it.
in the latest issue. So
well, it just shows the wonderment continues. Hannah, I feel as though we've been through dimensions galore since we first started off this morning with the weather from Gibraltar and Gabriella Peralta's Frodo time-travelling transient pooch. Richard Fitzwilliams took us into a whole new level. Ian Lennox, of course, had to answer the door, as you do when these things happen. Even McDonald arrived. Exactly. Did. Rachel Riley effectively shared with us her bright idea challenge together with Shell and many more exciting things if you're in the school range of under 14 and so on. 11 to 14 is always important. Bright eye challenge. And as Eva joined us, Ben left us to head off to Boston.
Well,
and we trekked out Jenna Warren in Saltburn before, obviously, the delights of Louis Savvy also updated us before wrapping up neatly, docking the ship, so to speak, on Planet Stains. Not so much Scaro, but Stains. A bit like Scaro without
the Stains. I remember once a friend of mine said to me, he says, from America, he was saying, we get a lot from Thames TV around here. Mm. Said, you mean Thames?
Easily confused. Easily confused in
Stains
so many
from
ways.
Thames.
Yeah, exactly. And Eva, you're now going to deliver those last two questions because I know you've been waiting to do this and now it's your chance to shine, my girl.
Oh, will do.
Get rid of me.
Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
Have I had an interesting telephonic link with you today, yes.
Mm-hmm. And will we be hearing again from you soon?
Well, that's up to the irregular Alec, isn't it?
Oh. You know, I did like the way you had
that. Now, well.
I did like that sort of, you know, that kind of is. So you're making notes down there. You can actually have the Eva McDonald chart of people sort of, yes, where they're going, statistically speaking. It's great.
Who can we rely on?
Yep, Bastille and Genesis and possibly a little touch of Maria Hagman will be taking us up to the news, or we'll get something that'll work our way around to the news as the computer gets itself coordinated, because it is Siren 107.3 FM. Hannah, have you enjoyed the programme?
Yes, I have.
And Eva?
I have, what I've been here for.
Well, it's been a whole hour of fun and joy, so
yes,
that's the important thing. So
that's
it. Be happy. Don't exterminate anybody. Remember, in those immortal words of that fantastic magazine, which issue 3 is there, and Hannah does the official siren sound effects, we will simply say...
Warp, warp. It's my body and soul, yeah,